Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Help us to take it into our hearts, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, here we are. First Sunday in spring. And as I said before, not that you'd know it, out in the weather outside. But actually, I quite like spring. It has the sort of weather that generally puts a smile in your face, doesn't it? It comes with a sense of optimism for the year ahead. Warmer weather, longer daylight hours, flowers beginning to bloom. Well, having to mow the lawn aside, what is not to like, really? But spring is also a time of year when we start thinking about our holidays, don't we? Or is that just me? Let's face it, winter can take it out of us, can't it? There's nothing quite like a spring break to cheer us up. So imagine, just for this morning, just imagine that we're all beside a lake, a nice big lake. Imagine that we're beside Lake Galilee. And here's Jesus. People have travelled from miles away to see and hear him, to be part of the excitement that's been building for some time around him. And the crowd is so big, you watch Jesus get into the boat and he pushes away from the shore and he teaches the crowd from there. And as you sit there, you can feel the warmth of the sun on your face. You can hear the water lapping at the side of the lake. And you can sense the excitement of seeing Jesus in person. And then he speaks. And you hear people around you saying, "What on earth is he talking about?" Because he's just talking in riddles. Now, at this point in Jesus' life, he's fast becoming something of a local celebrity. People were coming to Jesus for all sorts of different reasons. Some needed healing. Some wanted to see a miracle. Some wanted to learn from him. And for others, he was just a curiosity to go and have a look at. But you see, Jesus wasn't looking to build up a following of the first century equivalent of fans and groupies. Jesus was seeking disciples who would not just follow him around, but would learn from him and imitate him. So he often told stories, parables, that left people scratching their heads and thinking, well, what was that about? What does he mean? Just be honest for a moment. If you just heard that story about the farmer sowing his seeds for the first time, would you have any idea what it was really about? I know you do, because you've all heard it before. But on the face of it, it's really just a tale about a careless farmer who needed to pay more attention to where he was throwing his seeds. But we know, of course, that isn't what it's all about. The parable of the sower is one of the better known parables of Jesus, and I've spoken on it a couple of times before. But in case you've forgotten, let me refresh your memory. Picture a man with a bag of seed tied to his waist, walking up and down his field, and he's casting his seed from side to side as he goes. Picture then a long path which divided the narrow strips of land. And the path is really hard where it's been walked on and baked by the sun. The seeds are falling on the soil, but they're also falling on the path. They just bounce off the path and they were eaten, either blown away or eaten by birds. And of course, some people are just like that soil on that pathway. Like the hard ground, they're unprepared to receive what God is wanting to do in their lives. Now, that might be for any number of reasons. Perhaps they've had a bad experience in the past. Perhaps they just want to avoid any stress in their lives. Perhaps they just don't see the need for what God wants to do with them. Either way, the result is the same. God is unable to work in their lives, not because he can't, but because he gives us a choice. God will not force us to do his will. And second, there's the seed that fell on the rocky ground. Now, we're fortunate that we live in a land that has very fertile soil. Plants and crops grow very, very well here. And even when there is some rocky soil, we're still able to plant and grow crops. Actually, vines, they grow in very stony soil, don't they? But in Israel, much of the land is just a thin veneer of soil over a limestone bedrock. The sun quickly heats up the seed in the shallow soil. The seeds sprout in feverish growth, and then the sun beats down and the plant's roots meet the hard bedrock. It withers and it dies because it isn't able to get enough roots in order to grow properly. And I guess all of us have times in our lives when we're like that rocky soil. Times when we accept what God is saying without really thinking about what it's going to mean for us. We forget that when God chooses to act in our lives, the devil isn't exactly going to sit around and admit defeat. Quite the contrary, actually. He's going to do all he can to discourage us. And if our faith lies in that rocky soil, when we're faced with difficulties, we'll become discouraged. And we'll give up because it just seems all too hard. Next, we had the seed that fell on the thorny ground. Now, in my garden at home, when spring comes around, Hilary and I get all enthusiastic and start giving it a general tidy up. When I say we get all enthusiastic, Hilary gets all enthusiastic and I have to do the tidy up. Which in my case really means attacking the plants and the bushes with loppers, saws, and garden shears. So there I was last Monday, hacking, sawing away, and I got a bit of a shock. You see, a lot of the shrubs and bushes in our garden have started to die. Don't know why. Ian shaking his head thinking, well, what did you expect? I now have a huge pile of stuff that I've now got to take to the recycling depot. I know I'm not much of a gardener, Ian, but come on, give me a break. It's possible that I may have been a bit too extravagant with the weed killer over the years. But the reality is, our plants are probably dying, because I didn't pay enough attention to keeping them in good order, to keeping the soil that they were rooted in good order. I let weeds grow far too much, and I rely too much on chemicals to sort them out. Go on, I can't be the only one who's like that. Well, sometimes our lives can be like that thorny ground. By not paying enough attention to keeping it in good order, our spiritual lives become strangled and ineffective. When we allow things of this world to come before God, we actually leave ourselves quite vulnerable. We become choked with the cares of this world. We become unable to grow in faith, and therefore we don't cope when bad things happen. And then we come to the ground that we all like to think that we are, the good ground, the good soil. Here the seed is able to take root and grow without obstacles such as thorns and weeds. And because we have this freedom to grow, our spiritual life is able to produce a great harvest to the glory of God. And it's true, some people really are like that good soil. They accept what God is doing in their lives, they allow it to take root, and they produce a great harvest. But they're only able to do that because they've kept up their soil maintenance. They've been fed by God's word and allowed his Holy Spirit to water and nurture them. Well, not all of us are equally as productive, though. If we wish to remain faithful to what God might do in our lives and in our church, if we want our lives to show some spiritual fruit, then we must continually be preparing our hearts to receive his word and allow the Holy Spirit to teach and to guide us. You see, I know you've probably all heard this before, but some of you have heard the explanation, but you think it doesn't apply to you. However, as the crowds came to Jesus, found out, if you really want to follow Jesus, then you need to think through what he says seriously. Otherwise, as Winston Churchill once said, We're like people who occasionally stumble over the truth, but then pick ourselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. As he spoke, Jesus was presenting the truth in a way that forced people to ask questions of him. He was deliberately obscure. So some of them heard the stories and wondered what they meant, but then they carried on with their lives as if nothing had happened. Others, though equally confused about what he said, sought Jesus out for an explanation, and he freely gave it to them. And my prayer is that every one of us would decide to explore what Jesus means when he speaks, and then apply it to the rest of our lives. Well, just as the seasons change, so God moves in our lives too. And as God moves, we might consider how we're going to react. St. Paul's has been through many seasons over the 100 or so years it's been in existence. It's had seasons of spring growth, of expectation and excitement. When we trusted God in all that he was doing, even if it made us a little nervous at times. We've had seasons of summers of stability and consolidation. They were great times, settled times in the church's life. The good times? Maybe. But maybe too, that was when we were in danger of taking it all for granted, taking God for granted. When we thought that things would always be the way they are. After all, things were going well. What could possibly go wrong? Then there were the autumn years, the times when perhaps we slipped into maintenance mode. We just carried on doing what we've always done. Most of the younger folk had grown up and moved on. But that was okay because we still had our friends and our family around us. And we still enjoyed being together, worshipping together, singing our songs and so on. But then comes the long, dark winter years. Not only had the youth grown up and moved on, but where were the younger families to replace them? Suddenly, it all starts to feel like God's waiting room. But don't panic. It really is just the cycle of the seasons. Just as our weather has seasons to it, so does the church's life cycle. It goes up and down, always has. And like all the other years, the seasons do change. So where are we now then? Well, looking around, it might feel a bit like winter. Certainly, the weather outside makes it feel that way. But you know what? Spring is in the air. Now is the time for us to prepare the ground, to clear away the rubbish in our lives, to learn about God and his word, to prepare our hearts for what God might do through us and for us by his Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what God is planning for us. But I do know that we have to be ready. That's why Vestry has been busy praying, seeking God's will for our parish, understanding what our mission is, and forming a vision for our future together. You see, when God moves, we need to move with him. And I also know that when God moves, he often does so in ways that requires new thinking on our part. And that requires a certain level of trust. Trust not only in God, but also trust in the leaders of the church. That no matter what God has said in the past, we might hear what God is saying to us today. It's not all about recreating what has gone before, but having the courage to be what we need to be in today's world. Of course, we don't have to do anything if we don't want to. We can just carry on as we always have done. But we do have an opportunity before us to do great things, to do something that will benefit another generation of believers who will worship here. Because if we don't, there won't be another generation of believers worshiping here, will there? And so what do we have to do then? Prepare our hearts, feed our souls and our minds, so that when God sows his seeds of blessing, it might find fertile soil in our hearts and our lives, and we might follow Jesus wherever he may lead us. Just pause for a moment just to think about that and think about how that might apply to your life. And then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do change the seasons. Lord, that this is a time of preparation, Lord, for what lies ahead. As we enter this spring, Lord, as we enter a new stage in our church's life, prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have for us. As we focus on you and focus on your love and your great love for all that you've made, open our hearts to receive your Holy Spirit. To empower us, Lord, with those things we need, those gifts and fruits of the Spirit which you promised us in your word, that we might be an effective people here, that we might serve you in the building of your kingdom here in Papua Nui and here at St. Paul's. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.